So now we are actually recording. This is going to be... We can actually do the intro in a second. So he's splooting. Do you not know what splooting is? Where, like, they have their legs behind them. So they're, like, stretched out on the ground. Like, their whole belly's laying on it. We're talking about my dog right now. For when... hope if I don't edit this, for when Kaylee edits it.
Splooting?
Yeah. Kaylee, if you edit this, do you know what splooting is? It'll be fun to circle back to in the future. Yeah, waiting right now.
Waiting for a response, Kaylee.
But yeah, I don't know how to explain it besides, like, his, like, he just, like, puts his back legs, like, this, like, straight behind him on both sides. And then, so he's just, like, fully, like, he's, like, really flat to the ground.
Oh, no.
Like, he looks like a bear rug.
No, like, it doesn't do
that. Okay. Okay. By the way, this is Joe John, and...
Philip Bowen.
JJ and PB, PB&J.
PB&J.
As discussed in the last episode, which I was just listening back today.
AKA Matt, AKA Dylan.
Yep.
Whatever you want to call us.
Yeah, we're just people, man.
People.
But I will say, like, it's nice to know, context, we are recording this on March 31st, the first episode of Top
Bronx.
Oh yeah, Bronx is in the studio today instead of Laika.
Bronx here.
So you hear a little bit less jingling, but you might hear a little whining. Oh, now I remember what I was saying, and Bronx is ready to chime in. So I'm going to lose it again if I don't immediately get it out. What? Context, we are recording this episode on March 31st, the first episode of Talk Movie to Me. Just went live.
Just dropped.
On Tuesday.
It's a hot little potato.
We don't know when this episode is going to be getting out. Bronx and Philip Bouton are loving each other, so you might catch that. This episode might not be out until who knows how long. But
I don't know.
Yeah, so...
But we're glad you're here.
We are glad you're here, but that's why I'm adding that context. Because we just got our first episode out. The feedback's been great, right?
Oh, yeah.
It came out so much better than I expected.
Came out like a hot little potato.
I don't know what that means.
I don't either.
Yeah, it was great. So, and we appreciate the feedback. I mean, we have, like, probably 30 listens so far, so that's, I would say, twice of what I expected.
Yeah. We can say this now and say this, I guess, and every time. We watch 5 episodes, we do a podcast. Half a season. Do a podcast. So this is the front half of season 2, Game of Thrones. Spoiler alert.
Yes, if you...
There will be spoilers
have
not watched Game of Thrones, much like Joe John here. We're talking about the episodes we just watched. We're talking... And that's about it.
But
the episodes that we've watched, we're theorizing what may happen. I know Philip Bouton has watched it many times. I know what happens. Joe John does not.
Yes. If you're listening to the third episode, I'm assuming you probably listened to 1 and 2. We're trying to add a little bit of structure to this. But yeah, that's what we're doing. I'm watching Game of Thrones for the first time with a partner here. We're having a dude date. We're halfway through season 2, so we're going to talk about everything that's happened pretty much up until now, with the focus obviously being on the first half of season 2.
Yeah.
I think with that being said, I was thinking about how we want to approach this. I think what would make the most sense and also help me out, because we watched this across 2 different days, like, mm-hmm. it's been almost a week.
That's true, yeah.
So I was a little rusty.
Yeah, you get better at that.
Yeah, I was a little rusty. We watched 3 episodes last weekend, and then we just watched the final 2 episodes of the first half tonight.
Yeah.
So the way I was thinking that we should approach this is, let's just take it kind of like by group of people, like main characters, and kind of address what's happened so far in season 2, kind of bounce that off each other, refresh each other, but also give the listener an idea of exactly what's going on, because they might not be remembering what exactly happens in the first half of season 2.
All right.
So, I think we should start... I think it would be right to start with the Starks, Robb Stark, mainly. So
where you want to start. What do you... the Starks.
Well, that's what I was saying.
Rob Stark.
Yeah, Rob Stark, then that war front.
Okay.
What's going on right there?
What's going on so far? Rob, winning a couple battles. The guy is, he's not as green as you would think, right? Winning some battles, captured Jaime. He outfoxed Jaime Lannister and Tywin Lannister, was able to get Jaime captured and hope to get his sisters back, Sansa and Arya. So they got him captive. They got Jaime. Rob, what else?
So, yes, they have Jaime, which I think they got him at the end of season one, right? But they got him captive.
Yeah.
They've been basically marching over the Lannisters thus far. Yeah. Walking circles around them is pretty much what they were admitting. They're calling him the Wolf. I think they said he's 3 for 3, so he hasn't lost yet. And his men are rallying around him. So it seems like right now they're pushing strong for Robb Stark as a leader, and his army's pushing strong too.
Dude's killing it.
Yeah, so that's what's happened thus far. I think in the last episode, the most recent scene we saw with them was one when they first, the guy that like ripped ass as part of a bit, like he was trying to scare his buddy as the Lannister's army. You remember that?
Yeah.
So, and then that turns out the Dire Wolf comes up and kills him.
Yeah.
So that was another, I guess, battle that they probably won. So he's probably 4 for 4 now, mm-hmm. I would assume. And then they showed him talking to that battlefield nurse, whatever she would be, mm-hmm. as she sawed that guy's leg off, which was
pretty gnarly.
Pretty sick.
Dope. Yeah. So.
So that's where they are at right now.
That nurse, Una Chaplin, is the actress. She's in, did you watch Black Mirror?
I watched most of it.
The episode with Jon Hamm.
You gotta tell me a little bit more.
Jon Hamm, they put the cookie in people's brains and it like records and then it makes like a copy of themselves.
Yeah, okay, I did watch that
one. She's in that one. She's in Taboo, show with
Tom. So that's the Robb Stark part of things.
Yeah.
I think branching off that, the next one to kind of recap on would be where Catelyn Stark, or is her name Catelyn? Or
Catelyn
Stark. She obviously left Robb Stark to go to Renly's
camp.
Yeah. And what was her purposes there again were.
So she's going to talk to Renly because Robb is like, you know, the Baratheon brothers, there's Stannis, there's Renly, you know, the Renly's got like 100,000 dudes ready to roll. We could use him. They could use all of them.
Yeah.
If they all united. Think about that. If Stannis, Renly, and Robb united and just took it to King's Landing, that would have been a ridiculous army. But the Baratheon brothers were beefing, so that was the issue. And Kat was there to try to figure that out, try to talk some sense into them.
Yeah, so she's there to build an alliance, basically strengthen the army.
Yeah.
The alliance, build the stronger army to hopefully mm-hmm. take out the Lannisters.
Yeah.
So she went there. When she first got there, she was approached by Littlefinger mm-hmm. regarding a proposition. And that kind of goes to what you were talking about earlier with Jaime. The proposition was the idea of returning Sansa and Arya for Jaime. Now, obviously, Catelyn doesn't. Sorry, I'm trying to remember the names. I got most of the names at this point.
Mm-hmm.
So Catelyn doesn't know where Arya is. So it's believable that they have her. And Littlefinger, obviously, he was kind of pressed up against the wall, so he
lied.
Yeah, he pulled that out in bad faith to try and pull try and get leverage, which is funny because it just shows that Sansa by herself's not enough leverage. Right. We need the twofer.
Yeah.
So that proposition. And
the show of good faith.
Yes, with Ned Stark's remains, I assume. Yeah, they actually discussed it too, so he could return, so they could put him in the crypt where he belongs.
And that was.
That was done by Tywin Lannister. to show
Tyrion's idea.
Was it Tyrion's idea?
That was Tyrion's.
Was that discussed?
Yeah. Littlefinger said.
Oh, yep. That was
Tyrion's idea.
Yep. So that was what happened the other day.
I
do remember that now.
You know, to bury the hatchet, so to speak.
Yep. Even though he should still be alive. And
yep.
He's still kind of my favorite character to this point. No one's fully replaced him in my heart. So that was what was going on there. And then they had a meeting, Renly and Stannis, with the two armies. They met up, they discussed things. It did not go well. The Dark Queen definitely stoked the flame there. They basically were both, steadfast in their stance that neither of them were going to back down. They did offer olive branches to each other, for saying, you're right, you can be king. Let's partner up. And then they extended the offer, or eventually Stannis left it at, I'll give you until tonight to reconsider. And then after that, bro, what the fuck was that fucking demon baby?
The smoke baby. The smoke monster. The red witch. My number two hottest in the show.
The smoke baby?
No. The red witch.
Okay.
The smoke baby. No. The red witch.
I know.
Number two hottest in the show. Gives birth to this smoke monster, and that smoke monster just travels across the battlefield and gets into Renly's tent and just offs Renly.
Yeah, you're at the end of one episode, that thing is crawling out of her cooch, just screaming, and then that's how the episode ends. They show, like, the calves, which it had pretty thick calves, so I respect.
Calf game strong.
I can relate, brother. And then next episode, they're just talking in the tent. They're brokering peace between Branistons?
Baratheon.
Baratheons and Starks. They're ready to fight together again. At least those two are. Renly would let Robb Stark keep his title and be King of the North while still managing things as long as he's swearing allegiance. Mm. And then this little fucking abortion comes into the tent.
It's a little smoke plan B.
Yeah. A little smoke plan B.
The morning after, smoke comes out.
Yeah, that was wild.
Sneaks up on Renly.
Yeah. So, R.I.P. Renly, which we need to go back and re-listen to one of these episodes. Mm. I'm pretty sure I said I think Renly's going to die.
You did.
I didn't have a reason.
You might not have said it in the episode.
I definitely said it downstairs.
You said it in the office. And that your next person to die was Renly. So yeah, you were,
you know,
correct there.
It was when... Oh, I don't know if this is relevant context, but we obviously work together. So when we were at work this week, that was when somebody's feedback... I know, again, we haven't put these episodes out yet, but somebody's feedback... Thank you, Brooks. So you were saying that when you were talking to somebody about this series, they were saying, like, we should talk about who we think dies next, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
So that's why we talked about it. So if it's not in the episode, I still called it. I think I said that I think Renly's next to die. I didn't have a reason why, which, hey, who's going to see that coming?
Right.
In my defense.
A smoke monster.
So I was, like, that's a pretty good guess by me. But yeah, so R.I.P. to my boy. We're down to... Baratheons.
Let me ask you, who's the next one to die?
Well, hold on. I think we want to still recap all the episodes.
Okay, let's.
We're still recapping, what happened.
Keep recapping.
This is going to be by far the longest episode, but I think it's because we're fleshing it out.
Yeah.
So then, following that, they obviously, the soldiers that run into the tent following that shadow, see, is her name?
Brienne.
I call her Brielle. Saw her over the body, thought she did it. Her and Catelyn Stark did it. So that might come to a head at some point, too. But they ended up ruthlessly murdered those two men. That was pretty sick.
You don't mess with Brienne of Tarth.
Yeah, and I will say this now. I really want her to end up fighting, like, the Hound or the Mountain. One of those, like, really tall fighters, just because she's also tall. I feel like it's going to be a really good battle.
Yeah.
But, so they end up dipping. And as of right now, they're heading back to Robb Stark, where Catelyn has full intention to return home after, and then they ended up, where Brienne, ended up swearing allegiance and being, like, her personal knight. So now they're traveling together. So that's basically where they're at.
Okay.
I think next, in regards to what Stannis in them, obviously. Mm-hmm. I think they showed a little bit, right? A lot of Renly's men, besides that one family that you said was super rich. Bronx. Here, you talk about what's that.
The Tyrells.
Yes.
Yeah. What about them?
So they all ended up dipping out. Rest of the banner.
So
ended up defaulting to Stannis.
With Renly dead, everybody but the Tyrells went to Stannis. The Tyrells went back to Highgarden, and they're just hanging out.
Yeah. So now Stannis' army is strengthened.
Poor Margaery, my number three, is widowed.
Yep. They left. They had a moment where her and Littlefinger, they had a couple moments, the two of them. First is where he kind of challenged their marriage, because obviously we know what's going on with Renly and that family.
Renly's been stabbing Loras for years.
Yeah.
Loras been stabbing.
Yeah. So they had a moment where at first he kind of questioned the marriage, and she steadfast was strong when she was walking him to his tent. And then following that, upon his death, she reveals she corrects him. She was not royalty. She's not a queen, because he was never a king. And then he asks her ambitions, and she says she wants to be the queen. Which, I mean, I assume means over the Seven Kingdoms.
Yeah.
So, and again, I know she's on your top five list of hottest in the show, so I'm guessing that that's not the end of them. Also, based on you saying they're immensely wealthy, we haven't really seen that yet, so there's going to be more there. But that's kind of an overall wrap-up of both Stannis and Renly. Besides, the other thing was with Stannis and Davos, the loyalty conversation. About the making sure that the red print, what's her name? The Red Princess or the Red Queen?
Red Witch.
The Red Witch, whatever, bitch.
Melisandre.
Making sure that she doesn't come with them on the battle, because if she does, it will be dubbed as her victory, not Stannis's.
Yeah.
So that's what's going on with them. I think there's three more things to cover.
Okay.
The Greyjoys. It seems like they're making a move on Winterfell. They pushed on the, what is it, something square, it's something T square, a town nearby.
Yeah.
And then obviously based on Bran's dream that he had with the ocean coming to Winterfell, I haven't seen it yet, but I'm willing to bet that that's going to be shown pretty soon, that there's going to be, Theon is going to be back in Winterfell. So I guess that's kind of looking forward, which we'll talk about again. But basically, they showed, for full context, again, we have to recap the whole season. In season two, Theon, first he swears his allegiance first to Rob, right? Then they discuss needing ships, so he returns home to where he grew up. Mm-hmm. When he gets there, he gets tricked by his sister, because she flirts with him, because he did not recognize them, because he grew up separately. So she tricks him, takes him to his father, who would be the lord of, what are they, the Iron Islands. Yes. And then from there, he kind of gets bitched around a lot. Like, first his dad bitches him around, his sister bitches him around, and then they give him the
random dudes on the boat bitch him around.
Yeah, what's the name of the one?
The sea bitch.
The sea bitch. They give him one ship when his sister gets 30 to lead into battle. Basically, he approached his dad to help back up the Starks in their fight, and then they immediately said, oh, all the Starks are gone and all their bannermen are gone?
Yeah.
Let's go pillage those villages. There's nobody there to defend them. So they're scumbags, basically.
They rape and reave. Yeah. That's the Iron Way.
Yes.
That's what they do.
Yeah. So, and then Theon being the guy that's been allowed to be bitched over by everybody, obviously flips, says, let's do it. Let me lead your ship. So they give him the sea bitch while his sister gets 30. They show him meeting his crew, zero respect, laughing at him, not looking great. But he does have one guy in his pocket, his second man in command, that's kind of guiding him through. I'm willing to bet Theon's going to be pretty ambitious to try and earn everybody's respect at this point.
Okay.
So I don't know what that looks like, but I'm willing to bet we'll see him in Winterfell. which we'll talk about that again later. So that's what's going on there with the Greyjoys. Mm-hmm. Last is just the two parts of the Lannisters. Mm-hmm. Tywin Lannister is the older one, right? Mm-hmm. So obviously he came in last second. One, I love this guy. He's a bad guy, but he's just sick. Mm-hmm. He runs in when Arya, who was originally leaving King's Landing and heading north to be dropped off in Winterfell by, I don't remember his name, but he was basically the recruiter for the Night's Watch, mm-hmm. who grabbed Gendry,
yeah.
and they were heading north. Obviously, they eventually got stopped because the royal police or whoever were looking for Gendry because they were trying to kill all the Bannisters, which we'll talk about. The Baratheons. Yeah. Sorry. Which we'll talk about what happened with them last year next.
Yeah.
So they kill him. Because they're trying to get Gendry to take him out. They kill the recruiter. The whole thing goes to shit. I don't know where the prisoners came into that.
What prisoners?
The ones that Arya freed. So that the one guy that we'll get to.
So they were with them, but they were in a...
Oh, like, yeah. Cart. Because the prisoners go to the wall.
Right.
Got it.
Yeah.
Okay, so yes. That's what happened. They get attacked. Everything goes to shit. Arya gives Jaqen the axe to free themselves that he asked for. Boy, give me the axe, whatever. Then eventually, so she gets caught. So does Gendry. But when they got caught, Gendry left that helmet that was going to be used to identify him. I don't know if did the blonde boy have a name?
No.
Okay, so nameless blonde boy grabs the helmet. He ends up getting injured during the whole affair, asks the royal guards to carry him. They're not about to do that, so they just slice his throat, kill him right there. Luckily, he has that helmet right next to them, so they say, that was Gendry, you killed him. Mission accomplished. They basically detain the rest of the children, throw them into basically a prison cell to torture them, kill them, and try and get some questions.
They take them to Harrenhal, which was like one of the most... it was one of the biggest castles in all the land. But
hundreds of years ago.
Yeah, and it was destroyed by dragons.
Yeah.
So... it's always been rumored it's cursed. It has a pretty big presence in House of the Dragon. It's a big deal.
Does anyone live there, or are they just using it as like a...
They're just using it.
Okay. Yeah, so it's an old abandoned kingdom that they're just staying at.
It's abandoned, but they... So the dude that Tyrion kicked out, mm-hmm. of the guard and named Bronn, that guy was given Harrenhal Joffrey gave him Harrenhal, and then so it's always been a thing, and Tyrion promised Baelish that he could have Harrenhal, yes, Littlefinger, if he, you know, kept quiet about the...
What would he do with it, though?
He said, you build another... Bulldoze it, build another one. Not bulldoze, but wreck it, build another one.
He's just giving him land.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's a big deal.
But, like, no one's using it right now.
Just Tywin and
those people. So anyways, so they're being held up there. They were being tortured. People were being picked daily and ripped apart. The one guy was definitely, like, a professional screamer that they didn't show, but the one guy just yelling, and then the woman says that was her son. So eventually, right before Gendry ends up getting killed and having the Fast and Furious rat eat his stomach, that's when Tywin shows up, looking like a thug, just coming in drippy.
Yeah.
He immediately kind of corrects everyone. So he immediately is like, "Why are you killing these people when we need able-bodied workers and slaves?" Mm-hmm. Effectively, like, you're just wasting their lives at this point when they could be doing something productive for our cause. And he immediately sees through Arya's disguise that no one else has really seemed to see through for the most part, besides a couple people who did easily. So it's like either no idea or easily knew. And then he made her basically his wine. What did he call it? What was the name?
Cupbearer.
Cupbearer, yeah. So she's basically a food and wine servant for mm-hmm. his war meetings, which is funny because obviously she gets to listen in on the other side of the war her brother's fighting. In the last episode we watched, he did ask her where she was from. He caught her in a lie originally because she was trying to lie about and say she was a southerner. But she did say she was a northerner. She lied about where, and she had enough information to back that lie up. But she just gets... Oh, so she talked about Rob, how he's the wolf of the north. Or the they call him... Yeah, the young wolf. He rides in on a 12-foot tall dire wolf and can turn into one on his own. He asks if she believes that he can be... Or that people believe he can't... She says that people believe he can't be killed. He asks her, is that true? She says, no, sir, everyone can be killed. So he's like kind of impressed with her so far based on their interactions. Obviously, he's not impressed with a lot of other people around him because they are most certainly losing the war thus far. So that's what's been going on there to that point. Lastly, the Lannisters that are in King's Landing. Obviously, Joffrey's king. So when the season starts, it starts with them beheading. Well, it starts right after Ned Stark got beheaded, right? Mm-hmm. I believe so. Actually, no, because there was an episode left in... Yeah. That was with episode 9 of season 1, right? When he got beheaded? Okay. So where do they pick up with them in this season? I know, obviously, Joffrey's... His name day, that's what it is, yeah. So, and then... cuts right to it. Joffrey's already, he's a piece of shit. He's a cynic. Like, yeah. He likes torture. He likes hurting people, basically. And he's king now. So that's cool. So immediately what happens is they celebrate his name day. Mm-hmm. Tyrion yep. shows up, because he didn't announce it when they first interacted, but he shows up during his name day because he was anointed the king's hand. In Tywin's place while he fights the war. So he shows up, marches through him. He says he's getting right to work. And he really does. Like, he's had a great 5 episodes.
Yeah.
Him and Bronn both. I'm very much a fan of the both of them right now. So on the Cersei side, they continue... What? Basically, she... At first, Tyrion walks up to them when they're at the council meeting, says, I'm the king's hand now. She flips out, obviously.
Yeah.
Then I think his next order of action was to figure out whose loyalty was where.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I think there was already an argument between him and Cersei following that interaction. I don't remember specifically, but obviously every time they talk, it's never fun.
Yeah.
But basically, he tells 3 different stories to 3 different of the councilmen to see who ends up telling who what. And then obviously, since he said a different story each time, he knows who's the snitch. And it turns out to be Pycelle. Is that his name?
Pycelle, yeah.
Pycelle, the old man. Yeah. And he is a leak to Cersei because the news was about...
Marcella.
Is that the name of the daughter?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, he was saying that he was going to send Marcella off to different families to build different alliances. So that was what got leaked. I'm trying to remember because I feel like there was definitely an interaction of note prior to that one. But... regardless, following that, what's the next thing that happens between the two of them? So then he goes and he confronts Pycelle. Mm-hmm. He cuts his beard off and he throws him in like a jail cell, basically, to rot. Eventually, Cersei sends her new lover, her cousin, because she keeps it in the family.
Lancel, yeah.
Lancel sends him over to request the release of Pycelle. That's when Tyrion pulls his leverage about them hooking up, saying, okay, well, if I tell Joffrey, how do you think he's going to react to you boinking his mom's? his mother. Mm. So he folds, immediately becomes a rat for him. The following episode, he starts snitching that Cersei and Joffrey are getting ready for the war that's coming to King's Landing via Stannis at this point,
mm-hmm.
With wildfire.
Yes.
So then hard cut to them going to the alchemist's lab. Mm-hmm. The guy seems crazy. Obviously, there's a back and forth where Bronn doesn't really buy into any of this stuff. He thinks it's going to end up hurting them more than anything, because when you have chemical warfare, everyone's going to end up getting burned,
mm-hmm.
especially when people are fighting, dying. He says shitting their pants, running away. And at the end, they show what they had 7,000 some of those cauldrons of wildfire. Yeah. So Tyrion says, you're no longer making this for them, you're making it for me.
Yep.
And then obviously on the side, Tyrion's also hiding his missus.
Shay. Yep.
Yeah. I will say, so I was also correct about this, and I do believe we recorded this. Mm-hmm. I think I said that when Tyrion in episode 10 of season 1 was appointed the Hand, I said I think he's going to go over there and kind of put Joffrey in his place.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, which I've been right to this point. He came in when Joffrey was beating up Sansa in front of everybody because of what Rob's done on the war front. What else did he? There was I feel like there was another thing that he broke up prior to that too, maybe. But then following that interaction, Tyrion and Bronn talk about getting Joffrey some hookers, prostitutes, to get the poison out of him. What they said.
Yeah.
Went terribly. Mm-hmm. So he got him some prostitutes for his name day late. Joffrey, kind of sus right now, if I'm being honest. Might not be into women, which is okay. There's already another guy. Well, there was. He's dead. But Renly wasn't like that either. So, like, it's possible in this world, at least.
Yeah.
So that's possible. But no, he seems to actually just, like, being cruel.
Mm-hmm.
So they end up calling him a lost cause. They see some guys in the not rebels, but some spokesmen in the street talking against the establishment, talking down. They called Tyrion himself a demon monkey.
Yeah.
I don't think there's anything else to note there yet. I think that's basically, that was a very long, that's probably long, mm-hmm. as long as most of our podcasts in total, but that's a recap of what's been going on so far.
Well, the only thing that you missed is north of the wall.
Oh, I missed two things. God damn.
The Night's Watch are at the Fist of the First Men and starting to get together. Corrin Halfhand, the ranger, came back and basically said he knows where the wildlings are holed up, and that's pretty much it.
Well, even prior to that, wasn't the...
they were at Craster's.
When they were still at the wall, when those guys came back to life, was that in season 2? The two dead men that were revived, and then the one that almost killed Lord Commander when Jon Snow saved him? Was that in season... I don't think we talked about it last time,
at least. Maybe not.
So if we didn't talk about it, if it was at the end of season 1, sorry, whatever. But basically, were they two men that worked for the wall? They brought their bodies back.
And then when they went out to take their oath, they found the bodies, brought them back, and they
did not burn them.
They were, they were White Walkers. So they
came back to life.
Came back, and Ghost and John took care of them.
Yep.
And then they burned them. And then...
Then they went north of the wall.
Then... Yeah.
And they went to that town.
Yep.
Well, they saw... They
went to Craster's Keep.
They saw several other towns abandoned. They get to Craster's Keep, which is the only one not abandoned.
Yep.
And who's there?
Craster is there with his daughter wives.
Yep. His whole colony of daughter wives.
Yep. And they talk to him, and they're staying there for the night. And one of the daughter wives has a baby boy. And then John follows him as he goes and drops off the baby boy to a White Walker.
Yeah, it looked like he was doing a human sacrifice. Yep. So that's probably why he hasn't felt the need to flee. He feels probably safe from the White Walkers because he's appeasing them.
Yeah.
Also, Sam, who I love, glad he's still alive, kind of keeps messing up here at this point. Like, he's going out of his way to be detrimental to the team by talking to the girl that was pregnant, trying to save her. I know he's in love. He's most likely just rocked up. He hasn't seen a woman in 6 months, he said. He just needs to get some poison out, to borrow a phrase from a different scene.
Don't we all? But I think that's it, then.
My dad listens to this, you sicko. so that's it. There's last thing. Oh, so then, that's good for them. Then they go north of the wall, and that's when what you were saying happens.
Yep.
The other one, way out in, what is it? Essos. So, obviously, picking up there, three dragons.
Yep,
three dragons. They're kind of abandoned in the desert, and they got to find a way to somewhere to go. They eventually find Karth, which is Earth with a Q instead, super far east. Mm-hmm. Like, southeast, I think, from looking at the intro thing.
Yeah.
They get conditionally accepted to enter into Karth because at first they needed to show proof of the dragons. I don't know why she couldn't just show proof of the dragons. That seemed like unnecessary.
Because when you have pocket aces, you don't show them right away.
But they're bringing her in for her aces. I want to make sure you... It's understandable why they would want to see it. But yeah, so anyways, her people are starving. They're struggling. They're dwindling. She needs help. So... Luckily, I don't know his name, but he's
Zara,
the richest man in Karth, vouches for her. I thought he was going to kill himself to allow them to come in, but he just slices his hand and does like a blood oath, I guess, basically. So they get accepted in. She gets invited to a dinner. He proposes to her at the dinner. He's the richest man in Karth, so he's trying to promise her all the things that she wants for his hand. Basically form a power couple. It's pretty obvious that
if any woman out there has money and wants to form a power couple, let myself and Jojon know. We'd be more than happy.
A power throuple.
Okay, if there's two women missing, are you sitting at home right now with your friend listening to this?
Which we know that is how women listen to podcasts, is in groups.
Together, in groups. And thinking, huh, these guys have money. Maybe we do, maybe we don't.
We have a podcast.
I'm not going to show you the money, but you're going to let me into Karth.
Not at least until we have video.
Not at least until... we show you the dragons.
Yeah. So, basically that's where they left off right now. They're in Karth. And then, what's the name of the guy that, like, loves her that's, like, there to help out?
Jorah.
He just said he'd get her a ship. It's obvious he loves her. The funny thing I was thinking, like, a critique of his character that popped into my head is, like, most of his lines are one word, comma, Khaleesi. Okay, Khaleesi. Hi, Khaleesi. Like, that's most of his dialogue.
Yep. She's his queen.
Watch out, Khaleesi.
Yeah.
Are you sure this is okay, Khaleesi? But he's loyal. So he's gonna get her a ship. So that was kind of noble. I thought that could have been a moment for a little romantic tension, but it doesn't. I don't think that Dany's going to end up mutually interested. So that's basically where they're at right now. So that's a full recap. I only thought about the Seven Villages. I forgot about the North and Essos. So
I think that's it. Yeah.
The other parts. So now the normal stuff that we get into. What do you want to go over first?
Who's your favorite?
My favorite characters. I'm gonna be honest. So I'm still going.
It was Rob.
I'm still going Robb Stark number one. He didn't get a ton. I mean, he did and didn't. I feel like he got a ton of shine the first time we started watching the first three episodes. Yeah. Last two, less so. It does seem like he might have a love interest, which is going to be interesting because just the way they were flirting. Because he was. He hasn't been yet, but he was agreed to be married off. He was
promised.
Yeah. He was promised for somebody else.
Yeah.
So he's still my favorite because he's the wolf. Like, being a wolf's sick. Being undefeated, sick. Like, he's just kind of... he's a young gun showing, like, he can't be fucked with. And he doesn't even want to be king, which is cool, too. So he's, like, humble in that sense.
Yeah.
He's just doing what needs to be done for the sake of his people. So he's my favorite. Avenging his people.
Freeing his sisters.
Freeing his, family. He's doing what needs to be done. And he's...
the fam.
It was time for him to be man of the family, and that's exactly what he's doing, unlike that little bitch, Theon.
Yeah.
So he's still my favorite. My second and third favorite are Tyrion and Bronn. I really like them as a duo. I really like Tyrion's character arc in this season so far, where he's just kind of bossing Joffrey around, and then Bronn's just not afraid to he's not afraid of anybody. Like, he's ready to fight, but also he's kind of getting more involved.
Mm-hmm.
So those are my three favorite right now.
three or most hated?
Obviously Joffrey. Fuck that kid. Obviously
Joffrey.
Yeah. Especially like who does that to prostitutes in that world at that time?
I
like,
know.
Get your stones off, my boy.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, for all the same reasons. Pampered little bitch, baby. He seems like how much worse could the Wicked King have been based on what he's done so far? Like
the Mad King.
Yeah, whatever.
He was burning people alive and.
Well, I know, but I feel like this is a build up to that.
Yeah.
Like, cause he's what, aiming a crossbow at Sansa because her brother won a battle, and he literally is like gonna like. The girl he still knows he's going to be married off to is going to have her clothes ripped off and have her beaten in front of everybody. Yep. Like, obviously, he's off kilter.
So the thing that I found interesting here is whenever, and this is kind of a, and I'm always kind of searching for words, but whenever there is a regime change, it's always interesting how quickly the new regime resorts to the tactics that the old one was doing. So like you said, he's very reminiscent of the Mad King. Yeah, you're absolutely right. That, you know, the Mad King was overthrown, and then it was Robert was just a warrior. He was just getting drunk and whoring and stuff like that. But now there's somebody who's not a warrior and, you know, Joffrey. And it's like, all right, now that that has happened, look at him doing this crazy stuff. Shades of that previous regime. So, an interesting thing that I always thought it wouldn't watching this show.
And then where... So, I have a question, too. Where were the Targaryens, like, when they were in Westeros, where were they?
So, the Mad King was Targaryen.
Mm-hmm. I know that.
So,
but was you King's mean Landing castle? The Targaryens, or
no? So, Dragonstone, where Stannis was.
Gotcha.
Yep.
Okay, because it's like just the blonde, blue eyes. Like, there's a lot of similarities there with the Lannisters and the Targaryens. I'm not saying that goes anywhere, but it just mentally throws me off. And like it's like the same thing. Yeah. They seem very similar.
Yeah.
No,
Dragonstone is like an island.
Yeah, so he's my least favorite. Second and third least favorite. That's tough.
Is it?
Yeah. Cause I'll, Theon's my second favorite, least favorite. So Theon. I feel like
Cersei.
That's a new introduction. She hasn't. I feel like she hasn't done a lot, like, in the first five episodes. Like, that's what I was trying to remember, like, what interactions they had. Like, not that I don't dislike her, it's just she's not really in power right now, because it's not like she has any pull over Joffrey.
She was just threatening Tyrion a little bit.
Yeah, and so so I don't have her right now, but I know Theon's number two, like, piece of shit, like, being, one, just being bitched around by everybody, which I'm sure this is gonna be, like, eventually, like, I'm done being bitched around, blah, 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 and then who knows what happens from there.
Yeah.
But just not a good look for the guy, getting pushed over by everybody, stood over by them all. He immediately flips on the family that raised him after swearing allegiance to, Rob, so that'll be interesting to see that come to a head. And I think, so this is going forward, I think he's going to end up in Winterfell. I don't know what's going to happen there. I know they said they're gathering 200 men for the town nearby the square that was invaded. So I don't know what exactly that's going to look like, but I'm assuming that's not the end of it. So that's my second least favorite. Our third least favorite, I'm going to go with Baelish. Littlefinger.
Okay.
I'm not a fan of him. I liked his cunning. Like, he was always he's the same character he was in season one, but I liked him more when there was the prospect that he was loyal to Ned Stark.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, that didn't turn out to be the case, and then since then, he's just continued to be the same grimy person.
Mm-hmm.
So at this point, especially when he made a move on Lady Stark, not a fan. So I would say he's my third least favorite by default. Obviously, you could say Cersei and stuff, but I've had them named the first two times, and they're not super relevant right now.
Mm-hmm.
So, no. If I could do, like, a extra for my favorite, let's do that little smoky demon baby.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. smoked plan B.
Yeah, the smoked plan B.
Okay. Who dies next?
Who does die next? I'm going to go with...
Who's the a main character?
Cause, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with... And I'm not talking about the North or Essos right now.
Okay. I'm trying to even think
about it. I'm going
to
go with Stannis.
Okay.
Something. I know they had that moment where he's like, all right, we're not going to bring the Dark Witch to when they invade. I think what they're saying, when they invade King's Landing, she's not coming with. Mm-hmm. But, like, obviously, I feel like there's going to be some recourse there for, like, this dark magic stuff that they're doing.
Okay.
So I'll go with him. I don't know exactly how. I don't think it's as simple as her betraying him. Okay. Like, and just stabbing him in the back. Mm-hmm. I think it would be something more evil and sinister, like that little smoked baby that went and killed Renly.
Mm-hmm.
So that would be my guess for who's going to die next.
Okay.
Yeah. Do you have any input? Or do you... I know you said you're thinking about it.
No. I thought about it. Yeah.
Okay.
I think it's a fair assumption to make.
Yeah. If I had to pick somebody else that would die next, I don't know, because, like, it seems like... I don't know if I expect the war to end this season.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know... Like, I don't know if there'll be that full battle, like, with all parties converging. I feel like even if some parties fight, which is, again, something's got to happen if Stannis is going to die, which, actually, I'll talk about that in a second. So this might be how he would die.
I think this season's ending, if I recall, is pretty anticlimactic.
Really? Okay. So that even helps me, like, that verifies for me that...
Or it's just like, meh.
Yeah, yeah, and that would be the case if the war didn't end.
Yeah.
So if I had to pick somebody else, it'd be Theon, just because I think he's fucking around and he's gonna find out. I just don't know how quick he's gonna find out, or to what degree, because I know Robb Stark does show mercy.
Mm.
So if I had to pick somebody else, I would go with Theon, which at this point, cool, I don't care.
Okay.
How I think, if I were to connect the dots, how Stannis would die, obviously I think that wildfire is going to be something. Like, that's a lot. Okay. I don't think, like, and the reason why he's not making it for Cersei anymore is they're not going to do what the old guy said of, like, throwing it... Mm-hmm. Just, like, in catapults, because that would burn them. Mm-hmm. So I was thinking about it. They're either going to, like, dip air... Well, that would still be the same thing. Like, dipping dipping, like, arrowheads in it, and then, like, shooting that onto the boats. Either that, or they're gonna put the wildfire in the water somehow. They could put it in the water and burn it as a barrier. Like, I don't know if you could sail over burning water, like an oil leak, basically. Yeah.
Okay.
Or, well, they talked about it, like, it's flammable, right?
It's wildfire, yeah.
Is it? I assume that's not a real thing. Wildfire, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I know that it means it's flammable. I didn't know if it would be combustible, is what I meant. So, if it's combustible...
They haven't really explained the effects of it yet, so...
Yeah, I just assume it burns hot. I was thinking if it's, like, combustible, like, you could just somehow, like, send it out there on small canoes... And, like, have it just, like, explode. I don't know if that would work, though. It'd have to be combustible. But, so if that was gonna be a way, I think that would be it. So that's kind of, like, what, I guess, I don't know what if there's any other talking points we want to do besides what we think happens next with all these storylines. But I think that would be what happens next there. Because I think that fight, I have to think Stannis dies next. I think him and the Lannisters fight, and maybe it doesn't go the way they expect because of the Dark Witch, the Red Witch.
So, who's your hottest?
Ooh, I'm still going Dany. I don't. Okay. I mean, I'm disappointed because she hasn't been naked this season yet. Mm. Tough, because she was the only one when we first recorded this. I didn't have a choice.
Yeah,
but then I would go with the Red Witch. Definitely hot, and then I would take your third too,
Marjorie.
Yeah, okay. So those
you're
would be
going Danny, Red Witch, Marjorie.
Yep.
Okay.
As of right now,
hottest guy.
I think Jamie still.
Jamie still.
Yeah, good looking dude. I hate him. He has a very punchable face, but like it's a, it's a pretty face. He's a pretty boy.
He's a pretty guy.
Not Theon. Loris? No, Theon's
not Loris.
Who's Loris?
Renly's boyfriend.
No, he looks like. I mean, he looks like a girl.
Yeah.
Not like, but not like.
Put a dress up.
Yeah, like
put some rouge.
Like I don't know. I'm not gonna sit here defending Jamie and his attractiveness.
I'm just saying,
It's
got soft features.
And there's a bunch of guys that it's not. Fucking Theon is a weird looking dude. The one scene he looked, it was just the way he looked was ugh. So, any other of our points that we've done in the first two episodes that we still want to go
over?
Nothing
I can think of.
Yeah, I know. I think we addressed most of it. And, like, a lot of it that we did previously was probably part of the recap.
I will say the show is at a interesting spot right now because there are the different pieces that, you know, we were all right in one area. And now it's really starting to spread out. Like, the people up north farther north. And Essos is
going
exploring
further
more of Essos.
East,
so,
yeah,
you're learning a lot more. And I think the show does a great job of allowing you to digest that stuff before big things kind of happen. So we're in that phase right now. But I think this next episode will probably be meh. If I recall. But then we really start. I think season 3 is when Danny starts picking up some things. And
well, now I know Danny doesn't die, so thanks for that.
Okay.
I'm kidding.
Yeah. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
I think we're in a good spot.
Yeah. So what do we think happens next? Or what do I think happens next?
What do
next?
You think?
So you pose it to me. You ask me about specific things.
So as far. So we got who you think dies next. I guess what do you think is the big thread? Because there are.
Thread?
Like, yeah. There are a couple threads here to pull on. There's King's Landing. There's North of the Wall. There's. You know, Rob.
I think it's
Tywin.
Yeah.
There's all these different threads. What do you think is the one that's going to strike the most?
Well, if we're breaking it up with the north, the south of like all of that, and then the east of Essos, I'm going to guess it's going to mostly be focused on the war conflict and those and developing there more. Again, I do think I don't think the war ends, so I think like I don't think we see, I guess I would say based on my other answers I've just given, I don't think we see the Starks against the Lannisters this season. I think we have to wait until season 3 for that, and I think that's where this war would get that finality. Obviously we've already lost half of the Baratheons. So I would assume it's going to be Baratheons and Lannisters. I already said I think somehow, I don't think that the Lannisters are gone. I think they will be there next season to fight the Starks. So something's going to happen where the Baratheons would either lose, retreat, be delayed somehow. Just, it doesn't. It either doesn't fully come to a head, or they don't, or it doesn't go the way that Stannis wants.
Yeah.
Which would be how he would die. So that's what I would assume is going to be like the major turning point here. I am interested to see. I think the next, what I'm most interested to see is what happens with Arya and Tywin.
Okay.
If he gets wind of like who she is.
Okay.
She has 2 more kills from that guy.
Jaqen? Mm-hmm.
So, I want to know how those get used.
Okay.
So, that's what I'm most interested in besides, like, the main conflicts. Well, which is, I mean, it is a conflict, but it's not a, I would argue it's not a focal point right now because it's not two main characters.
Yeah.
Well, they are main characters, but they're supporting main characters. I don't think Arya's time is when she's 11.
Yeah.
So, with that being said, is there anything else that...
Definitely hit up the Facebook, Tree Fort Gang, with any points or questions or anything like that. You know, help Joe John, you know, find his way. As far as the Game of Thrones voyage goes, if you have any questions, you know, you watched it and have a question, you know, we are watching it fresh here again.
Mm-hmm.
So let us know what's going on.
Yeah.
You know,
again,
stand up, be counted.
Yeah. Regardless of when these get posted, we're going to post them in order. You guys are listening to me watch this show for the first time.
Yeah.
By the time you might be listening to this, I might have watched the entire show, but the idea is just to kind of be able, you know. And actually, it's funny because someone said to me, two people have said to me now, like, I wish I could go back and do something for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I could go back and watch that for the first time. I was just talking to somebody at work today. They said, yeah, I haven't watched the Dark Knight movies. So just so you know. So they were like, dude, I'm so jealous of you because you get to watch that for the first time.
Wait. What?
Yeah, I haven't watched any of the Dark Knight movies besides like when they've been on TV in the background. Yeah. I'm not a DC guy, but I haven't watched any
Marvel.
I haven't watched any Marvel either besides Avengers Endgame Good and Lord. Infinity War and Black Panther 1.
Oh my god.
Yeah, there's a lot of content okay. out there.
Yeah.
Philip Bowen here is visibly stressed. I knew that was coming. So anyways, moving on to the point. They said it was kind of cool.
So, yeah, I mean...
I'm sorry.
No, I was going to say that, yeah, watching it for the first time, and like I said, let us know.
Yeah, you get to read... Go ahead. Yes. You get to... The idea is you're vicariously listening to or watching the show again for the first time by just listening to us talk about it as it goes, and especially me talking more and more. Like, obviously, you guys probably tell. I can tell. I know I have a much better understanding of names and everything in episode 3 than I did in episode 1 and 2.
Yeah.
So, like, it's just kind of like watching that happen, coming along for the ride. Hopefully this influences you to also rewatch the show. I know we're doing a show that I think this season came out in maybe 2012, if the show ended in, like, 2018 or 2019. So 10, 11 years ago almost. But it's been fun. I love the show. These recordings have been fun, too. It's fun when we listen back to them. I'm genuinely laughing, not just because it's myself, but because I think we genuinely have had some good conversations so far. So if you listened to all 3 episodes, or if this is the first one, thanks for listening. I think we're going to end up wrapping it up with this.
Yeah.
Did you have anything else to add, Philip?
No, just, yeah. I mean, think about when you watched this for the first time. Where you were, you know, things that you were thinking. But I do appreciate you for stopping by. I want to give much love to everybody. Thanks for stopping into the Tree Fort. This is PB.
This JJ. Is
thanks for making a sandwich with us. We'll talk to you. Peace.
Tree Fort Gang is an Audio Boom original podcast. Dramedy is written by Scott Roche and is performed and produced by Rhythm Scott.